Dominic Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Studios here on a Wednesday at 5 o'clock, which means it's time for Jared versus Joe. Caroline is here. Hello, Caroline.
Hello, how we doing?
Outstanding. So without further ado, let's get to Jared versus Joe.
Jared Stillman versus Joe Rexroad, now on Stillman and Company.
On ESPN.
102.5, The Game.
Joe is in Detroit where he is cheering on his Tennessee Volunteers. Caroline, lead us off.
All right, first and foremost, start on those red-hot freaking Predators who cannot lose, have not lost, won't ever lose. Joe, you go first. If you had to bet on it right now, today, make your prediction, money on the table, where are the Predators finishing in the playoffs?
Okay, I will predict a first-round 7-game loss to the Dallas Stars.
Wow!
Ooh.
Do you have any reasoning for that?
Well, first of all,
I guess Detroit said no.
Hotness. What's that?
I said, I guess Detroit said no. Your phone stinks. Continue.
Okay, let's see if I can try to fix this. I believe.
Oh, I think he fixed it.
I don't think he fixed it in the right direction. Let me say this. I think I got all I wanted out of this one. How can we predict that a team that never loses is going to lose 4 games out of 7 in the first round? I mean, I was sitting here thinking as you asked him that question, Caroline, I'm debating between the Western Conference Final or the Stanley Cup Final. Like, I don't think they're going to win the Stanley Cup, but I'm debating between those two. Because, I mean, you saw Adam Vinken did the stats of teams that get this hot over the course of a season that you are more likely to end up in the Cup Final than you are to lose in the first round. And I know that what happened to the 2013 Chicago Blackhawks has absolutely nothing to do with what's going to happen to the 2024 Nashville Predators. But
or the 2023 Boston Bruins.
Or the 2020. But I don't think the Boston Bruins won that much.
The Boston Bruins?
Like, I don't think they went on a heater like this.
They won the President's Trophy.
Right, but I'm talking.
They
I'm not
won
talking
more
about
games than.
I'm not.
Any
no, no, no.
Other
I'm not talking. I'm talking about the stats
history.
That are teams that go on like 18 game point streaks.
Okay.
So Vinken did the numbers. He talked about it on your show earlier today. Vinken did the numbers, and according to Adam Vinken's numbers, of the 9 teams that have had a 17 game point streak over the last 15 years, 2 won the Cup, 2 lost the Cup, 2 lost in the conference final, 1 lost in the second round, 1 lost in the first round, and then you're the 9th team. So, like, the stats are saying that you are infinitely more likely to get at least to the conference final, history is, than you are to lose in the first or second round. And, I mean, last night, Vegas had everything to play for last night. They played like they had everything to play for. Outside of Mark Stone, they had all their guys back. They were all skating all around the ice and everything else. And, I mean, they still won the game. They still won the game. Like, I have a hard time saying, I mean, I'm debating between Stanley Cup Final or Conference Final. Again, 8 previous teams. You're the 9th. 8 previous teams have done this, and at least 6 have ended up in the Conference Final. So when Joe says a seven-game series, and I guess we've lost Joe because his phone's not working. When Joe says a 7-game series loss in round 1, it's not impossible. It's not improbable.
Of course it's not impossible.
But at the same time, like, how could you say that? They haven't lost in a month.
I know that Vegas is not everything in the slightest, and, like, whatever the sports books say, like, who cares? But what do you think the odds will be in that series? Let's say it is Dallas. Dallas, Colorado, Vancouver, whoever. Like, how much of an underdog are the Predators going to be?
Well, I think it matters who they play. But I do, like, how do they determine that in a, like, betting? Like, do they can you bet the series on the front end? Like, you know, Dallas is minus 220 to win the series.
I don't know if you can, but let's just act like you can.
Okay. So, I mean, I think that it'll probably be, you know, and let's say it's Dallas or Winnipeg or one of those teams. I'm thinking it's going to be like Dallas minus 110, Nashville plus 110, you know, right there on the edge. If it's Colorado, it's probably Colorado minus 200, Nashville plus 250. If it's Vancouver, it's probably somewhere there in the middle. And so, I mean, I don't think that anybody's going to look, even if it's Colorado, I don't think anyone's going to be like, oh, yeah, Predators have no chance. I mean, again, the Predators have not lost in regulation in a month and a half.
I know.
This is – so, Joe, I think you're crazy saying in the first round, I said right here, right now, I say that it's either going to be the conference final or the cup final because of Adam Vingan's stats.
I love it.
This is actually not bad. We might need to get Joe like this all the time. So of Adam Vingan's stats, of the eight previous teams over the last 15 years that have had a 17-game point streak or more, the two have won the cup, two have lost the cup, two have lost in the conference final, one lost in the second round, one lost in the first round. So you're saying the Preds are on the low end with the 2017 Columbus Blue Jackets, and even though their heater is at the end of the year, you still think they'll lose in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really great stat by Adam, but like you're now acting like that's gospel. I mean, look, you still have to look at this team and compare it to the other teams, understanding that the entire season matters and where they finish and, you know, where they're playing. And first of all, my prediction is based in part, and sorry about the phone, by the way, in part on the fact that I think they're going to overtake Winnipeg, and I think they're going to get the three, and I think they're going to get Dallas will be the two, and the Avs are going to win the division. And yeah, look, I'm just predicting a game seven loss in Dallas, you know, but could they make a deeper run? Sure. I just feel like home ice may end up mattering.
Why? This team's incredible on the road.
Sure. But it's also everything about the playoffs. I mean, it's just like every year in the playoffs, there's going to be something like this team dominated this team in the regular season. And then all of a sudden it's like, how the crap are these the two same teams now that they're playing in the playoffs? The playoffs flips everything on its ear. And I think this team is not someone, not a matchup anyone out there should relish, has a chance to advance. I'm still just honestly, I'm hesitant just because as well as they're playing, I still think that when push comes to shove, when that space gets tighter in the playoffs, I think there are just some teams out there that simply have more talent across more lines than the Preds have, and that's the difference.
I watched a team last night with way more talent than the Predators bring their A game against the Predators. The Predators not show up for the first 10 minutes
happened,
of the game.
Jared? Okay.
And they won. The Predators won the friggin' game.
They won the game, and it was an amazing comeback, and the building was amazing and all that. Also, they were down 4-1 because that team kind of kicked their butt for a while, right? I mean, look. Jared, this is weird.
That's my point.
You're right, but you're
the more talented team kicked their butt and they still lost.
Yes, that was in what happened in one game, Jared.
This team doesn't lose.
You can't take offense. Okay, all right.
Yeah,
fine.
You're saying the first round of the Dallas Stars. The first round.
Caroline asked for a prediction. That's my prediction. I'm sorry. That's so offensive to you.
I'm going to say the Predators get to the Western Conference Final. I think they'll, and I will.
You willing to guarantee that?
No, but I will predict that they will lose in the Western Conference Final, and it will either be to Edmonton or to Colorado. One of those two teams, because those are the two teams. Now, look, the Edmonton's goaltending is terrible, but I just don't think the Predators could ever beat. I mean, I just don't think they could ever beat Edmonton. I've never seen the Predators beat Edmonton consistently, and I'm not going to count on it now. And then Colorado is really, really good, and I know they lost to Montreal last night, but since you beat them, they have been unstoppable, and the Predators are going to lose a game at some point along the way. So I'll go Western Conference Final, but I'm not going to – round one, I think there's a better chance the Predators catch Winnipeg than there is – that they lose in round one, but then that would make sense that you're thinking the same thing because you think they're going to lose to Dallas in the first round. So there is that.
Yeah, I mean, that's okay.
Caroline was guessing. Next.
Good guess.
All right, the Titans traded for L'Jarius Sneed, a 2025 third and a swap of sevenths. Is that a red flag for how low the trade compensation was? Jared, you go first.
Yeah. good players go for more than that. It's like, I understand the idea of, well, you know, you have to pay LeJarius Sneed too. Right. And Philadelphia had to pay A.J. Brown. And I know that receiver is more valuable than corner, but it's not that much more valuable than corner. Corner is still a really important position. Sneed was the best player on the market, and this is not as deep of a corner draft as it is a receiver draft. Thus, that's why probably nobody has made a move for T. Higgins. That being said, if Cincinnati was willing to accept a next year's third for T. Higgins, I bet somebody would trade for T. Higgins. And so what it tells me is that the Kansas City Chiefs are not interested in retaining LeJarius Sneed, which is somewhat of a red flag considering that they are a contender, but they've got one of the cheapest owners in the league who won't buy new chairs for the locker room. And so I guess that's a different discussion, a pocket watch over there. But, I mean, the fact that nobody else in the league wanted to come with a better offer for a guy that's as good as LeJarius Sneed is, something is not right. That would be like me telling you on the used car lot, hey, man, I got you a used 2020 Lamborghini, and it's, I mean, look how pretty it looks, and it drives well on the test drive, and I'll give it to you for $40,000. You can't buy a Lamborghini for $40,000. I don't care if it's 4 years old. You can't buy a Lamborghini like that. That is what LeJarius Sneed is. He's one of the best corners in the NFL, and he went for a 2025 third. That doesn't add up.
Yeah, I think red flag is strong. It is surprising. I mean, it's surprising. And so, look, the fact that there was the knee thing in the preseason is certainly worth noting. Yeah, what really bothers me about these situations is what you'll have is you'll play the game of telephone on this, and somebody like, oh, I heard his knee stuff really like, blah 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 blah. It's like, okay, so let's get the real documentation on that. What's the actual reporting on the knee? And from what I can gather, and look, Karski on our show today, you know, he wrote a piece and kind of explained the Titans' process of, you know, trying to make sure on that knee. I mean, at this point, I have to, based on actual reliable information, not whispers and murmurs, because that's what happens. I mean, even in the media, you get the sewing circle thing going, and it's really like, okay, so you're basing that on what? I mean, I've seen some, you know, some fan sites who are like, ah, you know, like Chiefs fan sites who are pushing the knee thing big on this because it's kind of a head scratcher. But at this point, I mean, based on reliable information, I have to think that the knee's okay. And if that's the other than that, I don't know what else the problem would be. You know, it's the long term contract. I mean, we don't need to get into the stupid salary cap conversation right now with Jared. There's just no reason. But
well, get into it with Caroline. I'm sure she'll take your side, Joe.
Well, I would think she would take your side. I mean, whatever you want to call it, cap money. I mean, that's obviously part of this, right? The Chiefs do. Another thing to consider is the Chiefs apparently they have some young corners they very much like. So it's one of those things where they feel like he's a little more expendable than he would be on some other rosters. So red flag is strong. At this point, based on the information we have, I think the knee is okay, but that's certainly going to be something to talk about and watch moving forward.
What did the Titans tell Kaharski that made him feel good about the knee?
Oh, God. Essentially, the information was shared between the trainers. I mean, that's the big thing. It's like the due diligence was done at the trainer level between the Titans trainers and the Chiefs trainers. That's boiling it down.
Did the Titans trainers not call Atlanta's trainers on Julio Jones?
Well, I don't know.
We were told that the Titans got the medical records on Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech, and Virginia Tech said he was good.
Yeah, Jared, in this league, we also heard from you, like, oh, get ready, Eagles, because A.J. Brown's going to be hurt half the year. We don't know what's going to happen with the injuries. So there's no guarantee at all. Now, the Caleb Farley thing.
I will say, to be fair, I think we knew that Julio Jones was going to get hurt. Like, we knew that.
No.
Let's go back.
You and I, on this program knew that. When you were on this program, Caroline, but everybody else thought, oh, my God, this is going to be the greatest show on turf, Rams.
Let's go back to Julio Jones. His entire career before the previous season, he had played every game or, like, missed one. He had one season before here of missing, like, half the season with a hamstring. One season. It was not a chronic thing. It was not a year-after-year thing. It was one season. So the idea that, oh, you just knew he was going to be hurt, that is ridiculous. But
I knew somebody in the league. I reported this at the time. And Caroline, I think you remember this. I reported this at the time that somebody who is a league source at the time was a league source that I know, Ian knows, Joe, you might know, Caroline knows, told me that their team's doctors laughed at the Titans when they made that trade over Julio Jones.
Okay. That's great. But again, the facts I just said
count.
Are the facts.
Doesn't count for you, Joe.
No, but the facts are what I just laid out for you. He had one season of having any kind of injury issues.
But you know, one season of a hamstring issue is not like, he tore his ACL and got surgery and went back.
Right.
Julio Jones at the time was 32 years old with a hamstring history.
Well, okay, but he also, in his games he played that year, he had the same level of production he'd always had. I mean, of course it's a possibility, but this idea that that's just ridiculous that they would have signed him. I mean, I'm if the guy laughed, great, but the information was not clear. The information on Farley, now that as soon as that happened, as you guys may recall, there were people in the league saying like their medical on him came back like a disaster or whatever. We had an athletic story. It was like that's a totally different situation. And that was, to me, I mean, that was John Robinson ignoring, spinning what he got. I don't know, but all these three situations are very different.
So here's what I will say about, and again, I didn't read the PK story, but I know last week PK said that he had heard that the Titans were out on LeJarius Sneed, and obviously that it was not, you know, reality. Everybody has been lying this entire time. So when it comes to the Titans, they lied because they told Paul that they were out on LeJarius Sneed, and thus Paul went on your show and said they were out, and 2 days later they traded for him. So
well, he
lied.
Said that. He said today they stopped. They were not in contact on him for a while. Then they got back into it.
Sure. Then
everyone's
the Chiefs
lying all
lied
the time, except you.
When the Chiefs said, I know everybody loves to say, well, but they had this asterisk at the end of it that said that if they were, the Chiefs said that they'd be willing to let LeJarius Sneed play on the tag. That was the report all last week. They're fine. We're fine with LeJarius Sneed playing on the tag. Then Andy Reid at the owners' meetings told Paul they couldn't do it because of the cap. So something is not right. Somebody's lying at some point there. And then on the Sneed front, I mean, there was this, he demands to be the highest paid player in the league. And then he ended up taking less money than the highest paid player in the league. So everybody has lied at some point throughout this process, which is fine. It's par for the course. It's the whole point of this is to be able to detect what's bullcrap and what's not. And in the case of the Chiefs, and everything's been wrong. So like now I'm supposed to say, well, the Titans told Paul that the knees are okay because the Chiefs trainer said they were okay. That makes me even more more suspicious of it.
Okay. But one thing to keep in mind on the money thing, Jared, there's also yes, he could have played on the tag.
We're fine with him playing on the tag. We couldn't afford for him to play on the tag.
Right.
Which one is it?
There are two different things. And another thing that people said was that he may not play on the tag. Now, a lot of people threaten that, and then it ends up to be BS, too. I understand that. But I think what Andy Reid is talking about is the long-term deal, right? He's not talking about playing on the tag this year. You got to separate those two scenarios.
What's the long-term deal if he plays on the tag?
They were going to negotiate a long-term deal with him or in his mind, in Sneed's mind, for reporting, or he was not going to play. That's the other aspect of this that you have to consider. Again, do I think he actually was going to follow through on that and not play? Probably not, because a lot of people say that and then they play. But I think when he's talking to Paul about finances, he's talking about the prospect of signing him to a long-term deal after they tag him.
Okay. More Jared versus Joe continuing on the other side here on the program. We're presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville, Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game. Jared versus Joe is presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. Caroline, go.
All right, so it was announced yesterday, Mitch Barnhart, Kentucky's athletic director, is bringing back Coach Cal. Good move, bad move? Joe, you go first.
That's a good question. I mean, I lean toward
bad. Is it
bad.
Because it's college basketball question?
Well, that is in part, but also the only reason I would not go 100% bad is because, you know, $34 million, if you're Kentucky, you got to deal with that. But also there is the question of, you know, like the replacement. But ultimately, you got to make the decision just based on Calipari. And I mean, his tournament success or lack of success the last few years is just brutal. His lack of accountability is brutal. So I think what you're doing is setting yourself up for just a, you know, another disappointing year, and you're going to make the move a year from now. When you make the move a year from now, then I guess it's what, like $27 million. So what, did you save yourself $6 million by waiting a year? But like, what kind of lack of goodwill from the fans are you going to have? And, you know, I mean, I just, and it's not like a year from now, you're going to have a perfect replacement. Maybe, I guess you can scheme for that in the next few months. And look, the reality with Calipari is, and I do believe this, I told you guys I believe that Oakland could beat them, and they did, but I also had Kentucky in my Final Four, and I absolutely believe this team was good enough to do it. I mean, he's had other teams that have been good enough to do it. They haven't done it. What if you tell me right now that next year they're just going to catch lightning in a bottle and have the perfect mix, and he'll have a couple portal ads this summer that'll go with another amazing recruiting class, and they'll actually get to the Final Four? It wouldn't shock me. And then you're locked in with him. I just feel like this many years of those failures, it's about time. I think it's just about time for both sides. If you don't have a real relationship with your AD, your football coach hates you, and you're failing to this extent, I think at some point it's time to move on. So I think it's a bad move, but there are arguments to make on the other side.
So I think it's a bad move for Kentucky because it tells me that Kentucky is not as committed to winning as Kentucky says they're committed to winning. If you say, you know, the only reason that Kentucky should ever keep a coach is because we think we can win with him. That's the question. Do you think that you can win with Calipari? I'll ask you guys. Caroline, do you think Kentucky can win a title with Calipari?
No.
Joe, do you think Kentucky can win a title with Calipari?
Yeah. Do I think they can? They have.
Oh, here we go.
What are the odds of Cal winning a title with Calipari next season?
Not good. But again, this is one of those, I guess this is where we always get into these semantics things, right?
Who's more likely to win a championship in the next 5 years, Andrew Brunette or Calipari?
Brunette.
Yeah, I'll go Brunette.
Okay. So, like, if that should be the only thing that decides whether or not Kentucky keeps their coach. Do we think we can win with him? If not, it's time to move on. Tubby Smith won too, and then at some point, it was time to move on. And so when it comes to Cal, this is it. This was the year that after the St. Peter's loss and the Kansas State loss, like, Cal got back to the basics and Cal made changes to the coaching staff. And, like, this was the year. This was the recruiting class. This was it. And they lost to Oakland. And so when it comes to Calipari and it comes to Kentucky, I think that they kept him for the two things Joe brought up, the money, and they're afraid of who else is out there. What's behind door number two? And I just, the way that Kentucky basketball pumps their chest out is with this idea of invincibility that, you know, we're UK. We can get whoever we want. What do you mean? This idea of, oh, well, we should go get Jay Wright off TV. We'll just go get Billy Donovan. We'll just go get Brad Stevens. What are we talking about? We're UK. And I guess maybe the answer to that is no. Can't even get Scott Drew, maybe. I don't know. Or when it comes to the money, first of all, it was a very buyoutable contract. You know, you guys understand this. I'm talking about you two because you guys cover SEC football enough to know that there are offsets in the contract and it's payable over the 5 years that are left on it, which means if Kentucky gave Cal a big bonus, gave him a big check up front and they eliminated the offset so that he could go get another job and get paid to that, they could come to an agreement. We all know how this works. And so they could have done that. And so the fact that either the money or the lack of a viable replacement are the reasons they didn't get rid of him. And I'm like, well, then I guess you're just as afraid of the landscape as everybody else. So you're not.
I don't think it could be a lack of a viable replacement. Like, it's still Kentucky.
I agree. Like, they should be able to find a good, you find it, there's good coaches to hire, and you put a coach in that situation and with all the advantages, and you should be able to win.
So then it's the money that's holding them back?
Well, I think, or is it also just the holding on to that thread of belief, like, oh, man, he still brings in these amazing teams. And, you know, this team was one, you know, that Golkey guy goes crazy. I mean, you know, you can talk yourself into things.
You can't do that after St. Peter's.
Yeah. I'm not disagreeing. I mean, I think it's time.
I mean, they're wrong, but I do think that if that is what it is, they're wrong, but I do think that is what it is.
Also, yeah. When it comes to that Golki guy hitting 10 threes, I don't know. How about we guard him? Like, I just, you know, what's great is like, what's the bald coach who's a total, you know, Seth Greenberg. He was on TV making excuses for Cal like he always does, and Jay Williams was making excuses. And then they went over to Jay Billis, and he was like, I think the thing Kentucky needs to do is I think Kentucky needs to play better in the tournament. That, I think, is what they need to do. I laughed so hard. It's like, that's all it boils down to. So I just, again, if you're Kentucky, you should think that you can get some great coach to replace Cal, that Cal's replaceable, just like Patino and Tubby, and, you know, they all were replaceable. And then, you know, Joby Hall and Adolph Rupp, you know, they're all replaceable.
And don't forget Billy Gillespie.
And if it's the money, I mean, you're Kentucky, you should be able to get the money. And again, just tell Cal, like, hey, we'll eliminate the offsets, we'll give you $18 million up front. And then do it. But I guess not. Okay. I am taking the fourth question here. And instead of it being a debate between Jared versus Joe, this is going to be a question for Caroline.
On Fridays, I already know what the question is.
You already know?
I'm assuming.
On Friday's edition of Robbie and Rex Road, I was invited onto the program. And after the Predators had won, I don't know, what was it, the points in 16 straight games at that point before it got to 18? I decided to rehash memory lane when Joe Rex wrote in May of 22 told us that John Hines was a good coach and that John Hines deserved a return. And that John Hines, it was an article about how John Hines should not be blamed no matter what happens in that Colorado Avalanche series. Friday, Joe would not apologize. I apologize to you, Joe, because I'm man enough to be able to admit that I was wrong about Oakland after one media timeout last night. All I ask for you to do is and admit that you were wrong about John Hines, and I was right, and this is an example of that.
Yeah, I'm definitely not apologizing, but how's your bracket doing?
Joe, why are you not apologizing?
Dude, we don't have time to go back and forth on this. You apologize because you go off the fly off the handle and have to tweet something after 2 seconds of a game. So good for you for apologizing for it, because that's what you do. You overreact everything.
But broken you clock. Won't apologize for your years of John Hines defending. So Robbie, I don't want to articulate your own opinion for you, but
okay.
I do feel like you remember vividly, whether it was Joe or Hal or Chris or whoever, you remember the finger wagging and the pointing down to me specifically about the coach. And I think
I do remember.
And I think going back to that, I think you're on my side on this.
I'm Team Jared. Joe, how do we feel?
Your team, okay, Team Jared on what exactly?
Team Jared on Joe needs to apologize.
Joe, you must apologize.
Oh, I'm not apologizing.
Okay, Caroline, does Joe need to apologize?
First and foremost, I love that response from Robbie, because here he and I are both in the same position. We really just want to watch the world burn between you two. Like, I don't know if Robbie really believes that, but he just wants to get under Joe's skin. And
I'm sorry. So you're accusing a coworker of saying something that they don't believe.
Yeah, listen to the rest of it. He admitted it like 2 minutes later. Go listen to the rest of it.
I was busy. I didn't listen to the rest of it.
Yeah,
Jared, you are absurd. You are off your freaking rocker. Is that now our jobs? Is the onus on us to apologize for every single thing that we were wrong about?
I apologize about Oakland.
We've got a long list of apologies that are due,
and I make them like when I apologize to Joe. I came on after all those basketball Benjamins told us watch out for Oakland, and I watch a first media time. I'm like, this team sucks. I'm like, there's no way that they're going to lose to Kentucky. And I tweeted it out, and then they won. And I came on Joe's show, and I said to Joe, as a basketball Benjamin, I said, I'm so sorry that I apologize to you. You are right. Oakland could beat you.
You said that. I'm so sorry. I opened the show apologizing.
What I want Joe to apologize for is Joe's love of John Hines. Joe and Chris Mason and Hal Gill and all the finger wagging, all those, he's a great coach. You don't understand the game.
Yes. said that so many times. Said that so many times that he's great. So again, the problem is, Jared, like you're just revising history again with what people said.
Here's what you should apologize.
No, hold on. I don't change at all. Like my biggest argument to you over and over again was, I think the bigger problem with this team is the roster. It's not the coaching. If you tell me which is a bigger problem, it is the roster. He does not have a good roster. That's David Poyle's fault. That was and I absolutely still believe that.
David Poyle's players looking pretty good right now.
How many of them?
Lazan. Evangelista.
That's one that you need to apologize about, too.
Yeah,
you called
there you
Jeremy
go.
Lazan an AHL player for the first 2 years.
And then he, because he
this
was.
Is such a mind
and
field.
He got
this
a coach.
A
I said yesterday on the show.
Apologize.
I said yesterday field. On the show to with Barry Trotz. I said, I go, I mean, I watched Jeremy Lazan play, and I didn't even think he belonged to the NHL. And Trotz smiled and kind of had like a head nod, like, oh, yeah, you know.
Oh, all. God.
And so, I'm just saying. Caroline, does Joe need to apologize?
No, he does not need to apologize.
Thank you.
Are off your rocker. And what I would love to do if I had the time is go back to every absurd take that you have ever had, but frankly, I don't have the time.
Let me just
I'd
say
like
this.
To make a list.
We need to
Joe
hire
won't apologize.
Apology.
Joe won't apologize about his Nothing Burger comments. My favorite is Joe not apologizing about his Nothing Burger comments and then writing a story in The Athletic about how it was a Something Burger. And this is the same way. He just doesn't have to do it, so he's not going to do it. And let me just say this. If I'm right about Rand Carthon, you all are getting it. I mean, I'm just saying, yeah, I will never stop when I am. If
right,
I prove
you know
it
why?
Right
about Rand
because
Carthon.
Caroline and I have been saying he's amazing. He's the best GM ever. He's done nothing wrong. All of these moves are perfect, and they're going to work out. That's why you will frame it down the road, right? Yes, because that's what you do.
Caroline, who
which is not true. That's not what we said.
Jared, you really do deserve a loss based off of all of the apology baiting. You have asked Joe to do. I mean, that is just absolutely not. He does not owe you an apology. But on the other hand, I think that the compensation for Legarius Need has to be a red flag. And to say that it's not, I think, is naive and overly optimistic. Like, it might not, like, the knees might not be a problem. There might not be any issue with Legarius Need at all. But doesn't it just make you raise an eyebrow just the teeniest, tiniest bit? And also, like, to Jared's point about the Predators getting to the Western Conference Final or the Stanley Cup Final, like, it does sound pretty crazy right now. But, like, why not? Like, why couldn't they?
No, I agree. I'm just forced to make a prediction.
And I disagree with your prediction.
So?
Okay.
Jared wins.
Okay.
Thank you. I feel like I'm like the Tommy Mansky AAU back-to-back-to-back national champion that Fred McGriff fully endorses. Way to go. How you feel about that,
Joe?
All right,
easy. You still got some apologies that you owe people.
No.
You have not won three in a row.
I need one apology to me, and that's Joe. Thank you guys so much. Jared versus Joe is presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. We got a ton of phones. People want to get in on this, so that's what we're going to do. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I love Hiller. They take great care of my home. They can do the exact same for you. Just let them do it. And this month is Happy's Golden Ticket Sweepstakes at Hiller. Enter to win at hillergoldenticket.com. All you have to do is enter your email, and you're automatically entered to win. Prizes include a $5,000 Hiller gift card and a $1,000 Hiller gift card, or one of 10 Happy Hiller Club memberships. Or take advantage of zero interest financing for 12 months on select new HVAC systems, tankless water heaters, or whole home generators. Do not miss out. Enter to win now. That's HillerGoldenTicket.com. My guys at Hiller, they're fabulous. They take great care of my home. They'll do the same for you. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Call the Happy Face Truck today. Dillman & Company reacting to Jared versus Joe. Another victory in Jared versus Joe. Is that two in a row or three in a row, Ian?
I think two.
It might be two. It might be three. I don't know. I'm starting to feel like the Atlanta Braves of the 1990s or the Atlanta Braves of right now. I mean, it's just like back to back to back. Now, that is going to guarantee that I'll lose next week. Skyler texts in, our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, and says, Joe says dumb stuff 24-7 and never apologizes. Love you, Jared. And then says, Jared says dumb stuff 24-7 and never apologizes. Love you, Jared. I'm thinking he originally meant me saying dumb stuff 24-7. I apologize all the time. I admit when I'm wrong all the time. I don't understand this. We talk about it every day. Jared Stillman never says when he was wrong. And then I list about 19 examples of when I said I was wrong. You can't say I never apologize. I apologized at the beginning of that hit on Friday with Robbie and Joe when I said, hey, I said that the basketball bennies were off their rockers for thinking Oakland could beat Kentucky, and Oakland did beat Kentucky. I mean, what are we doing here? Like, you can't say I never apologized. I apologized in the cut we played. So come on now. Gotta be fair. That's all I ever say about this program. And if Rand Carthon wins three, if Rand Carthon wins, I've said this so many times, they could give that man the Super Bowl trophy. And they could say, what do you think now, Jared? They could give him the trophy, and he could say, screw Jared Stillman, who after that disastrous press conference, when I tried to tell the fans that we had a bad football team because the ball didn't bounce our way, got on my rear end. And now I'm holding the Vince Lombardi trophy. And I'll be okay with that. And I'll come on the air and I'll say I was wrong. But I've said I was wrong plenty of times. The problem is that I'm way more right than I am wrong. And because I'm willing to say that I'm wrong, I am going to point out when I'm right, because what happens is most of the time, people just ignore it like, oh, no, you had to do it, had to move on from John Hines. There was nothing we could have done there. We couldn't. You're the same people that were finger wagging us saying, oh, this coach, he's so good, you don't know hockey. Don't be giving me that. Can't do that. One texture says Joe should apologize for what he said about Joe Milton being Tennessee's biggest game. Okay, so there was a moment in the Preds' win last night that if you were at the game, it changed the entire game. If you weren't at the game, you probably don't even know that it happened. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. FanDuel Sportsbook is my official sportsbook app. Say goodbye to busted brackets, because FanDuel lets you bet on every game of the tournament. Whether you're betting on a big upset or a one seed, it's time to go dancing on America's number one sportsbook and my official sportsbook app. Because right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. That's $200 to use on point spreads, money lines, and you can even pick who's going to win it all. My favorite was I heard Robbie doing his FanDuel spot earlier today. He said, I've been telling you about Purdue. I'm like, you mean the number three overall seed in the country? Yeah, pretty good. Just visit FanDuel.com/JGM and bet on college hoops until they cut down the nets. 21 and over in present Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issue is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Send it in deep. Left wing corner for Nashville. Forsberg tipped it. Going in front. Patera goes down. The puck to the net. Predators are down one. That was just sticking to it.
Vegas is challenged, but the play was offside.
Oh, here we go. Are they done? It's like they're getting off the headset, man. This is tough. And you can tell it was the two linesmen that have to, they're making the call and they're huddling up right now.
A lot of offside challenges are very quick reviews. This was not.
After review, it's determined that the play was onside. We have a good goal.
It is indeed Forsberg's 40th goal of the year.
Golden Knights blocked it. Forsberg in front, off the chest of Patera. Now the shot to score! Nyquist ties it up! A power play goal! Oh my! It's 4-4.
I was pretty confident. I think from the angles I got, the views I got, I think it would be really hard to say it wasn't. Or was offside. I thought it wasn't. So I think when those ones, and they take time, I think you feel that you're probably looking to make the right decision.
So, last night, the game turned. The Preds won the game. And if you were watching on TV, it was incredible. And if you were at the game, it was incredible. But if you were at the game, you know the moment that changed everything. In the arena, during a TV timeout, you know how every now and then they show the celebrities that are at the game, and it's like, oh, hey, let's welcome, I'm trying to think of the most random celebrity I could think of. Let's welcome Wayne Brady from Let's Make a Deal. And he's up there just waving his hands in the air. And the fans are like, oh, you know. And then every now and then you get like a big local celebrity and the fans go crazy. And then every now and then, you know, you get somebody and they get booed, like when I got booed. But last night they showed Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC. And when they showed Greg Sankey on the Jumbotron, people booed. And I actually thought it was quite funny. And again, I think this goes back to Sankey's comments about the tournament last week that were not very well received. And you could see on Sankey's face when he got booed, they showed him up there. And again, when they show you on the Jumbotron, the initial reaction is a little bit of a wave and a, you know, hey, you know, let's welcome Jared Stillman. Like, hey, fans. And so that's what Greg Sankey did. And the fans booed. Boo! And Sankey, you could see, kind of rolled his eyes. Like, I don't say rolled his eyes, but kind of like, okay, great. You know, commissioners always get booed, though the SEC commissioner usually in the South is usually pretty liked. But as soon as that happened, the Predators caught fire. I believe that was, they scored goal two right after that, then three, then four, then overtime. And I think that Greg Sankey is good luck for the Predators. I think they need to bring him back to as many games as possible. And I think he needs to embrace being booed because I think it might be like a momentum thing. And if Greg's upset about being booed, trust me. I've been booed at the games. I think it's because they hate us because they ain't us. Preds Insiders is next.